Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Spiritual Unity Radio Network, a station dedicated to the concept that all manifestations of the divine are equally valid. Join Reverend Terry Power HP, Robin McKean, and all the hosts for programming covering a wide range of spiritual topics, right here on Blog Talk Radio.
To an emerging forest, a safe place where we have the freedom to think about life without judgment. We take a look at society, we examine it, and we allow for the possibility of something new, something different. And now, here's your host, Alan Ritter.
Well, welcome everybody to this second show in July 2017, just a little bit after 9 o'clock on a Sunday night, getting ready for that new business week, or it's just starting that new business week. And I was thinking back and thinking forward and thinking however the heck I think, which is I don't know anymore. And I wanted to talk today about identity and who we think we are, and basically how it's introduced to us as when we're young. And then, since, as always, I can't talk from your shoes, I'll talk from my shoes. And it's awfully weird, or it's awfully strange, or it's awfully interesting how our person flows through changes. And identity is just so important, and its issues are used to make society what it is, to divide people from people, how identity is created, and what is identity, and how people identify themselves. So what I'd like to talk about is the stages that we go through in building an identity. And this really isn't from a technical, psychological perspective. This is just going to introduce some of the main concepts that I talk about a lot, and that I want to talk about again from sort of a different perspective. And so let's start out as a child. And as a child, I am my parents' son. I'm not going to talk from a daughter's perspective. I live in a community of there's certain types of people, and there are certain types of people that my parents associate with. Mine happen to be people who were more professional and less blue-collar. This is my world, and I'm one of them. I don't know any better. And then in this world, our legacy is seen in others. Our legacy is seen as, what am I going to leave for the next generation? What am I going to leave after I'm gone? That's how it's framed. What am I going to leave for my children? What am I going to leave for the world? How am I going to leave the world? And there's really nothing, quote-unquote, called me before and after this single life that we're leading. And in that, we have value while we're, quote-unquote, turned on, and no value at any other time. We're sort of a function that's zero, quote unquote, and then steps on to a value and then steps off to zero again. So that's how you begin to form your identity, or that's how I was introduced to identity in that framework. And that framework allows society to say, well, you weren't here, and you weren't here before, and you weren't going to be here after. So you're just of value while you're here, but the value is like quantifiable. It's you're able to give it a value, and then certain people in society are able to be given more value, and others are able to be given less value. And when you start to do that, you can give people zero value, or you can give people, you can label certain cadres of people as being worthless. You can have them be akin to disposable electronics or waste paper that we can just throw away. And when we look at that type of, even if it's just a segment of society, it exists in society. Maybe it's not for your friends, maybe it's not for your family, but there's a segment in society that you can say, oh, we don't need those people anymore. And when you put that value on a segment of society, you put that value on yourself, because a segment of society is part of the whole. And so introducing that idea, or having that idea about part of society, allows you to have that idea about any part of society, which means your ideas about society can be led down a path in which you shine that valuation or that devaluation upon a certain portion of society. And of course, it can be turned, that lens of valuelessness can be turned upon any segment of society, and then turned, you know, oh my goodness, turned right back on yourself. So in the beginning, I grew up with my parents, I grew up with my peer group, and I kept the strict morals that I was taught by my parents, maybe not that were kept by my parents, but that were taught by my parents. And of course, within the above framework, death is absolutely terrifying. So I progress through life, and there's peer groups to be in, and behaviors to adopt to be in them. And then there are peers at work, and peers from your childhood, and then later on in life, friends and social circles. And then there are the families of friends of your children. I don't happen to have any children. I never did. But in general, this is how society holds together. This is how society gives you an identity. This is who you are. For myself, I was a PhD defense contractor, son of A and B, white, blonde, blue-eyed, you know, blue-green-eyed. Was introverted. I read a lot, not too many friends, not married, and, you know, United States citizen, you know, very not super patriotic, but, you know, believing United States is got its place in the world. Interested in many things, but not really interested in how things work at that point. But looking back, maybe this lack of concrete connections is what allowed me to change my mind. Because what you're in a framework and you're sort of locked in, and you don't have something going on that changes, that causes you to change. And what caused me to change is a series of, I would look at them as I was going through them as transformative events, and they were large changes in my life, you know, after age 45. And it all started when I thought about, during when I was having these experiences, it all started when I started thinking about what I knew, or how I could perform certain tasks, or how I was good at certain things, or in general what I knew, what my skill sets were. But I knew that during this lifetime, I'd never studied them. So how did I know those things? How was I good at those things? I didn't practice them this lifetime, naturally good at some things. Just didn't seem reasonable to me. And down through these transformative events, I came to think that it was reasonable if we all start as souls with no experience and build from nothing. Then you can see in our society, you look around us and you see new souls and souls with less experience having experiences that they need to have. And then all of the experiences that are coming to you are experiences that you need, and that the information and the skills that you're so good at this lifetime come naturally to you because you work very, very hard to bring them up from nothing, bring them up from that blank canvas, that tabula rasa, in a past lifetime. Now, that makes a lot more sense, because what does this do? It shows you that no one who you see, you're driving, you know, down the city street, and you see someone literally a week ago or a week and a half ago. I was driving down the street, and you see a young man or a middle-aged man pushing a shopping cart that's filled with cans, and he's half-clothed. And maybe in my past understanding, I would have empathy, and I would be upset that person was in that circumstance. But now I know, from having literally walked in those shoes, and also understanding what experience is, that is extremely valuable experience. Otherwise, why would that person be having that experience if it wasn't so valuable? It's formative to their soul to be having that experience. So that's why they're having it. And it allows you to get on with your life, because your life is filled with similar experiences. And you can look around and say, everyone else is blessed. Now, maybe I would like to affect a large number of people by upgrading what they get to eat every day, and that certainly would affect that one individual. Maybe not. Maybe that person would not choose to partake because they're following a strict protocol, a strict soul-based experience practice. I wouldn't pull them in. I wouldn't ruin their experience. I would let them continue to have the experience that they need. Otherwise, they wouldn't have carved out a reality, and they wouldn't be walking in that experience. there's no one to pity. Likewise, there's no one to be jealous of. There's no one who's evil. There's no one who's good. They're all doing what their soul needs done, be done next. Everyone is. Many or a few, or here's a sequence of funny things that happened to me or happened to me as a result of this idea or this this set of ideas. You understand how old your soul is because it had to build you up from nothing. And the human form might not be the only form that you have lots and lots of experience in. And this might not be the only reality type that you have experience in. So you understand that this lifetime shaved the thinnest of thin pieces of experience onto something so vast, something so unfathomably deep. And that unfathomably deep object, thing, soul, recording, whatever you want to call it, is you. It's not somebody else. That's not somebody else's soul record. That's your soul record. And you carry that and you bring that to bear in every single situation that you're in. Now, this idea also points to what is important next for you. And what is important next for you is the next experience that matters to you, not to somebody else, but the next experience that matters to you, the next experience that makes your passion come alive. And because that next experience might not be coming tomorrow, you might have some other things that still matter a lot, but the things that deeply matter might not come every day. There'll be good things that happen every single day that help along the way, but maybe there will be milestones that come every once in a while, not all the time. And so the other thing that you find from this set of ideas is you find the concept of time to be meaningless because it's no longer about time. It's about experience, and it's not about making that thing happen. It's about it will happen, and you'll walk through that door, and then you will have had it. And it didn't matter how long it took to get there, because as we've just motivated, time is this orchestrator of having things correct on the theater stage for us to experience. Time is actually a theater staging mechanism. Experience story appear rational to us. We're born, we're middle-aged, we're professional, we're respected, and then we're older, and then we do the whole thing over again. What's important in there is the formative experiences and all of the other experiences and helping other people stage their experiences and have their formative experiences. The other thing that happens is you see how important to you, you kind of change your priorities because you might have had priorities based on another thought about who you are. a thought about, oh, I'm a professional so-and-so and I'm in a country. But that's a way to earn a living and to have a place on the stage. But maybe it is a way for you to have these meaningful experiences, but maybe what you're doing is something else. Maybe your passion is something else. And so you start to say, oh, my priorities are no longer what I thought they were. My priorities are actually my passion. And your life becomes more personal. Your life becomes, what am I about? And your life becomes less about trends, less about fashion, less about politics of the general group, and more about your personal goals and what do you want to do? So trends, fashion, and politics actually fade and become meaningless, as you know, as opposed to your personal goals. The other thing that changes and changed from the beginning when I began talking is the idea of being afraid of death. When you understand how old you are and how many times you have left the body and taken up a body in all the different forms that you may or may not have occupied, the idea of being afraid to die is vastly de-emphasized, because you understand that the amount of learning that you have right now just makes you so shocked as to how many times you will have died. And you can be at peace with that, this transition. I mean, I don't mean for you to go out and court dying, but just to understand what death is, and that death is just the gateway to your next life. So at the beginning, I talked about what the legacy that we used to hold when we held, when we were in fear of death and in not knowing of ourselves and not knowing our true nature, or what I consider to be, in my opinion, our true nature. We know what our legacy is, and our legacy is to prepare the circumstances for our next rebirth. Because when we die, we're reborn. We don't go anywhere. We come into another body. We come into another shape, another form, and we have another experience right here. As far as I'm concerned, it's one big stage. We're all on the same stage. There's no other stage to be born onto. And you're going to continue right here, working on yourself, doing the same thing, bringing new experiences to yourself. So this formalism, this other idea, this identity of yourself as a long lived being. I'm not going to say immortal, because people do have the choice to leave, and people do have the choice to end themselves permanently, because we all have choices to make. But this idea of being very long-lived changes you, and the idea is, okay, you're not going to, you know, die and go away, and you know all your trash is going to be somebody else's trash. No, that's yours, and it's going to be here when you get reborn. So that really changes how you look at the house that you're in, and the ecosystem that you're in. So, I mean, written down before me is, now what is the value of the ecosystem to you? And how do you feel about the Earth, and how do you feel about its species decline? Regardless of what age you are, time is meaningless. It doesn't have anything to do with, you know, you're coming back. So do you want to come back to the situation as it is now, or worse, or whatever? Or, I mean, previously you were allowed to say, oh, I've only got 40 years more and then I check out. Oh, I'm sorry to tell you. You're going to be back. And so this is an interesting way to understand that we're here forever, and there's no other place to be. So what happens when you value the ecosystem as your nest, and you value the skill sets that are being offered? As I've said in many previous programs, I don't really have many previous programs on my resume at this point as an emerging forest, but I'm all about fertility. I'm all about upping species count. I'm all about making this a much nicer garden that people can actually put their shingles out and teach their skills, and they're not afraid to teach their skills. There aren't any rules, and it's all allowed. It's allowed within the guidelines of caring for the ecosystem, so that the nest stays nice and it's very skill bearing. But we don't have any things that are verboten, forbidden, taboo. So the other thing that happens is, as we had that lens earlier in the hour or earlier in the half hour that basically could look around and say, oh, there's something or someone that's worthless, it's no longer possible to even have that thought that there's any particle or any person or any being that's worthless. They're here. They have value. They are a very, very long-lived being. And our job as compatriots to that being is to find out what their passion is and help them get to the next stage in their development, if that's what they want to do. To bring it out of them and to get them past the obstacles. And you can look around the world and say, well, that may very well be what's going on. And of course it's what's going on right now. Of course that's what's happening right now. That's where we are. We're this is a theater stage, and we're having a great fun with the theater that we're playing. So I'd like to take that up after the break, and I'll see you in a few minutes, but I'll leave you with Darv the Bard, Green and Gray. Talk to you in a bit.
man in black came walking into a wooden glade, following the sounds of pipes on this beautiful spring day, high from the music that they made. But what beheld him within that place? A look of recognition fell across his face. Oh Lucifer, oh Lucifer, why do you appear to me? For I am a man of God, a priest. I'm no devil.
I'm green and gray. Science is coming to recognize what we already know. There is healing power in the forest. Forest bathing and similar techniques are gaining in acceptance. Reiki Master Reverend Terry Power and Holistic Health Coach Robin McKean Power bring their years of healing experience and invite you to join them in the wild forest at World's End State Park in Pennsylvania on the 22nd of July. With them, you will connect with the ultimate power of nature to facilitate self-healing and improve overall well-being. The price for this 2.5-hour in-forest healing experience is $40 per person. Email littlestonebridge@gmail.com to register or for more information. This event is limited to 12 people, so don't delay. Email littlestonebridge@gmail.com today.
Tune in to International Pagan Radio. You can hear your favorite artists such as Dave the Bard, Tuatha Dea, Spiral Rhythm, S.J. Tucker, Murphy's Midnight Rounders, and many, many more. Join us for exciting shows like Ask a Witch and Storytime with Rook as well. www.internationalpaganradio.com on the net or on TuneIn Radio on your mobile devices. Join us on Facebook and Twitter too. International Pagan Radio, all pagan, all the time.
Welcome back to an emerging forest on the Spiritual Unity Radio Network. We hope everyone was able to stretch their legs and get a drink. And now, back to Alan.
Well, welcome back, everyone. So, it's a perspective that now we have a different perspective. It's not pointing as before when we were thinking about something being worthless and something being worthwhile. That's not what I want to bring to the table as to these two perspectives, where the one perspective of identity, I'm calling that one perspective of identity. It's a way of life. It brings you certain meaningful experiences to have in certain ways that are soul-forming. Otherwise, we wouldn't have them. So I'm not pointing to any experience on the possible tapestries of everything and saying there is no value there, because it exists, it has value. What I'm doing is I'm talking about and explaining an experience that happened to me that has changed my idea of identity. And as I continue to think about how this has changed how I feel about everything, I change as well, which is one of the great services of writing on LinkedIn. One of the great services of having this program is that I'm always working on new material to say, well, how can I explain it from this perspective? Or something just comes up and I write a post on Facebook and I'm like, oh, I could expand that. I could go off in this direction. So I mean, the expression that I have and the reason I'm saying this, the reason I'm putting it in this these terms of it's all valuable, is you can look at a political system that would teach valuelessness, and now you have a frame of reference for the experiences that are under the umbrella of that, call it a political system. People are having those experiences. I had those experiences. Maybe I will have those experiences again, where a portion of the whole tapestry is treated as if it's not needed. It's basically the fun analogy is basically like saying, oh, part of my body isn't required. Or when you the same analogy can be talked about with the breath. You can say, oh, there's a portion of all existence where my breath goes that is not valuable to me, that doesn't taste good when my breath comes back. Of course it does, because it's all you. This is your manifestation, no one else's manifestation. This is your private universe manifestation. And there aren't any other people. There's just, this is your manifestation. There are other beings within other bodies. What manifestation of the universe do they see when they look out of their eyes? You'll never know. You're not in their body. So all you see is your projection of yourself, which is one of the reasons that I've actually learned to shut up more and listen to other people. Try to get some faint echoes and to try to get more feedback and to try to understand things more broadly instead of just, you know, pushing my noise out there all the time. And so, yeah, I've talked about that. It's a life stage. It's a way. It happened before. Maybe it's not a life stage. Maybe it's a road, and you go down that road and get off at various exits, and you have to go down that road in order to get back to, you know, a particular type of configuration of your soul in order to accept certain experiences. And you might need them. You might need to go back down that road and go over through the, you know, the culvert over there and up onto the devastated World War I trench line and run down through the trenches in order to pop up over in a different soul configuration to have that experience that you need so badly. That will be the goal. That big experience will be the goal. You'll have meaningful experiences that'll fill in along the line and be able to help other people. But it's not about the time it takes to get there. It's about having that experience. So once again, I'm trying to motivate this idea of self-value, and so that however many people can drink in these ideas and believe in themselves to the extent that nothing else can interfere, and you become invulnerable and unrulable, and you become a much more able creator. You just change because you're not going with the flow. You're not you say these are the things that I believe in, or maybe it is that I found the place that I need to stand because I'm looking across and I see a vision of the next big experience that I need to have. and I need to change so much that it doesn't matter how many lifetimes it takes to get there. I finally come out of a rabbit hole, and I finally come back to like a map point inside my mind, and I'm able to look at that map point and say, oh, okay, I need to have a certain mind perspective and a certain consciousness direction, and then I need to push off real hard from this side of the pool because I see way over there in that direction, that's where I need to go. And it doesn't matter how long it takes, and it's going to take a long time or it's going to take a short time. But as we've said earlier tonight, time is not the issue. You can say, oh, okay, I'm in this business right now, and it might take X number of years for me to build this business up. Persist. And you say, that's part of what I want to build. Or maybe something happens and you're able to build the business faster and you don't spend all of that time doing that business. But it doesn't matter, because if you're supposed to have that long experience building that business without any external facilitation, that was the experience that you were supposed to have. So you can't worry about these outside details. You can't worry about, you know, the lightning bolt or a DX ex machina, or, you know, the helping hand or the whatever investor, or, you know, the angel investor, the venture capitalist. You can't worry about any of that stuff. You can certainly be, you know, marketing yourself in that direction. But if it happens that you have the quote-unquote humble building of the small business experience, and that takes not only this lifetime, but many, many lifetimes in the future, the niche that you were supposed to be building during those times, and that's the experience that you needed to have, that's probably actually more valuable than the vision, because you actually had that great expansive experience, and you needed to have that experience. So this is why week after week, I kind of get to the end of my program, and I hope from tonight's program that you're able to see even more clearly why your passions are important to yourself, why your passions are important to why your passions are important to me, because I want this place to be more fertile. My vision is to use the higher technology instruments that we have. They all happen to be living, instead of these electronic Johnny Come Latelys, which are extremely wasteful, but they are a path and they are valuable. They are just strange to how I would be doing it. And maybe there's a little bit of this and a little bit of that that could be brought together. I think maybe that might be an answer, because they certainly have come along. That's my passion, and that's how I look at that's how I look at things. So this is why I encourage everybody to, as much as you can, to do your passion and to see yourself as your highest priority, and to facilitate and your personal ideas of self-value. If you know someone who is depressed, if you know someone who is upset, who thinks that they are not of value. Please, if you think my programs will have any value to them, to show them simply that just in order to be able to converse, in order to be able to explain things to people, and you have had to have so much time in order to be able to do basic functions to get around. I mean, as to how many, many years you have been here experiencing the world. Change that person's, show that person their value. Have them listen to my programs. Have them just say, or get a snippet out of my program, a piece of one of my programs, where I motivate the different perspectives. Like the first 20 minutes of this program would be, or the first, maybe the first couple minutes was sort of lead in, but then maybe the first segment of this program is a good set to show someone that they do have value. I haven't talked to a million people, but I've talked to a few people over a course of a few years, and just by constantly saying this is the way things are and working on them and working with them, they're a lot more, they care about themselves a lot more, and they're able to snap out of downturns and being upset. So this world is our nest, and you don't get to go to a different nest. You keep the same nest, and you just realign the deck chairs and have another experience. And we self-promote fertility from one mind to another. So saying, oh, there's going to be a new set of actors all of a sudden, no, it's going to be the same actors, and they're all going to be here, and it's all going to be the same people, and we're all in a relationship. And so we can build each other up, and we should be building each other up. And while a small segment, or I don't view a larger segment of the society of the quote-unquote theater stage area being dedicated to a society like this one, I still think that it has value. So I still think that some part of the theater needs to be dedicated type of society. And I freely say that I'm an amoral person. I want to continue to love my whole self, which includes all of behavior and all of the possibilities, be it quote-unquote pathological or non-pathological. Now, we learn from being in pathological experiences that it leads to a certain result. But it's not to say that there isn't expansion and that you don't need to go down and be back in that area in order to have a valuable experience that you'll need to have at some point. So it doesn't suit me at this point in my personal development to say that I wish to remove or permanently segregate part of the tapestry of myself. It's counterintuitive. It's also counterintuitive to Rumi's saying that I still have with me, which is out beyond the notions of right doing and wrong doing, there is a field, I'll meet you there. And that's sort of that and other things is what my philosophy springs from, including Hafiz is the place that you are right now. God circled on a map for you, or read instead of God, read yourself. It's yourself that's creating this experience that you're having right now. Thank you so much for listening to this program tonight. Thank you so much for considering these ideas. Thank you so much for possibly valuing yourself more, for seeing that you are a much deeper person than maybe you thought you were. My name is Alan Ritter, and this show is An Emerging Forest. You can get in touch with me via my email at RITTER.ALAN88@gmail.com. I run a small produce business in the southeastern Pennsylvania area and southern New Jersey called The Produce Club. It can be found on Facebook if you are in that area at produceclub.us. And I really like meeting people, and I didn't used to do that, and I didn't used to look at experiences that most people would find distasteful and find the value in them. Just this last week, I had a longer-standing roommate move out of the rooming area that I'm in right now. And although he and I didn't see eye to eye, he created a situation that I found very valuable for the transition that from where I was to where I am today. And it's interesting because now I'm moving on to a new stage and lots of things are shifting around. But the experience that I had during that time segment was valuable. Otherwise, I would not have had that experience. So it's one thing to say, oh, I'm more mature now, and be dismissive of the past experience. Or it's another thing to say, that was a needed experience and forms who I am today, and I might need to go back through and have a similar experience again, so I'm not discounting that it's going to educate me and form my path the next time I go through a similar experience, and I'm sure that it will form my path the next time I go through a similar experience. Well, have a great night, and I'll see you next week. Bye.
Thanks for listening to the Spiritual Unity Radio Network. Join us 7 nights a week for exciting programming covering a variety of expressions of faith. And remember, all manifestations of the divine are equally valid.